Ja, gute Woche. I think we discussed last week. We began discussing Avraham Avinu. And I think we talked about the processes that he went through. I say, I think, because I have a hard time remembering what it was I spoke about 2 days ago. So forget about a week ago. But the processes he went through to reach, I mean, on our level, to scrape at the tip of the iceberg, to understand the processes that he went through, what aroused him to start moving in the direction that he did. I want to build on that a little bit more, Blineder, this week, and again try to, the way we would put it is, we are not trying to encompass what Avraham Avinu was, but well, a mashal that I heard, not about this, but the way to say it is that you stand with a cup at Niagara Falls, a plastic cup, and you're trying to get a sense of Niagara Falls. So you haven't really encompassed Niagara Falls when you come away with that plastic cup, but everything in the cup is from Niagara Falls. So this is what we're trying to do. This is what we're trying to do. We spoke last week about Avraham Avinu's searching, about his not being asleep to the reality around him, and how he reached, yes, the understanding and the sense that there's a creator. And then it went further, as we discussed. After he reached the sense of that there's a creator, we may say that his career in a general way then moved into two tracks, and that is an ongoing continued process of deepening and deepening and deepening his consciousness of Hashem, sensing Hashem around him in his life. And this, as we discussed, this was the process of began with Shai Yichud, the intellectual understanding that there must be a Borei, and then continued with the Chavos Halavos' Shaar HaBchina, which was starting, now that there is a Borei, he went to the next step of starting to really sense him all over the place until Hashem became a real strong sensed reality in his life. Something that he was sensing all around him, something that he saw operating all around him and within himself. His life turned into an interaction with Hashem. Any piece of food that he ate, any phenomenon that he encountered, it was all a very live, real interaction with Hashem. While what we'll call the other track of it was, now that he's really internalized that there is Hashem, what does he want from me? Right? As we discussed, what does he want from me and how can I figure that out? How can I deduce that? So let's go back to the first track now, or where the two tracks start coming together. Avinu, the Alter of Kelm points this out. When did he get his first nevuah? At least his first recorded nevuah. He was 75 years old. It wasn't like, now, certainly in today's day and age, right, where processes are quick, you'd expect if he really figured Hashem out at the age of three, as we discussed, right, the different midrashim, we discovered Hashem at the age of three, discovered Hashem at the age of 40, and we discussed how that means discovering Hashem, and then the next level, and the next level. But next time he runs into a problem, one would expect, okay, let Hashem automatically step in. He discovered him. He connected with him. He should be there for him now. But we know that his life wasn't a simple life. The big, ongoing desire that we know about was he wanted a child. He wanted a child. And for many, many, many years, and this is the man who connected to Hashem and recognized Hashem as the what's the word? Well, the Almighty, who can do anything, who controls all the systems. And he's asking Hashem for a child, and he's asking Hashem for a child. Shouldn't his great accomplishments be rewarded by calling and calling and calling out to Hashem? Hashem, we would think, he'd respond. I know it takes a very, very, very long time. And also more than that, Avraham Avinu's struggle against all the tides around him, right? This is Avraham HaIvri, puts himself in a different place from all the rest of the world. Chazal tell us, we all know about the story of the fiery furnace, where Avraham was miraculously saved, but that was part of a very long ordeal. The Medrash tells us that he was imprisoned for 10 years by Nimrod. He was imprisoned for 10 years. You read it in the Medrash, it takes a second, but 10 years are a long time. It takes a long time for 10 years to pass. It takes 10 years. And you can imagine, Avraham Avinu, I don't know exactly at which stage of his life it was. I don't know exactly what age that was. But imagine a person is thrown into jail because of his loyalty to Hashem. He starts davening to Hashem. Get me out of here. I don't know. I don't know the chronology. Was this before the fiery furnace? Was it after the fiery furnace? I don't know what happened when. But whatever the case is, we can certainly imagine that Avraham Avinu is turning to Hashem and he's pleading, "Take me out. I'm here because of you." Nothing. Nothing. A day goes by. He's thrown in the morning. He's not out by the afternoon. And then a week goes by. And then a month goes by. And for 10 years, he's languishing in prison. And you can rest assured that Nimrod's prisons weren't high style. What did the dungeons of those days look like? We can only imagine. 10 years. Why didn't Hashem respond? Why didn't Hashem with the child? Right? Why did it take, well, until 87 when we're talking about Yishmael, right? And then Yitzchak only years later. Why did it take that long? And here we're really coming to the next level of understanding the greatness of Avraham Avinu. But let's appreciate another point here. Let's appreciate another point here. And I want to bring something in from a little bit of a different angle, and then we'll put it all together. In last week's parsha, we saw the story about the war between the kings. One of the king's names, one of the four kings who Avraham Avinu battled against, his name is Amraphel. Who is Amraphel? So Chazal identify him. Rashi tells us that Amraphel is Nimrod. Amraphel is Nimrod. Why is he called Amraphel? So Rashi says because Omar Poel, he is the one who commanded that Avraham Avinu be cast into the. He said, "Fall." He's the one who had him thrown into the fiery furnace, and therefore he's called Amraphel, Omar Poel. The one who commanded that he be thrown in. Let's just ask a question. If you were to research and find a biography on the life of Nimrod, Nimrod was the first monarch in the world. Apparently, others surpassed him. Kedar La'omer was apparently the most powerful of the four kings. Nimrod is only number two, was downgraded at some point. But whatever the case is, this is the man who invented monarchy, okay? The first king of the world, the first kingdom in the world. And he was a very powerful king. If you were to read it, his life story, right, I would imagine if you're talking about a proper history work, it would be a multi-volume work. Right? And yes, part of his hanhaga as a monarch was, and this is kind of made yourself a god. Any self-respecting king of earlier times had to be a god also. You had to have your God diploma. And people proved their dedication by sacrificing children to him. That was the way things worked. And we can imagine that the fiery furnace that Nimrod had wasn't starved. It was well satiated. Now, is it right? Does it make sense to identify Nimrod as the one who threw Avraham into the furnace? It was a very big event in Avraham Avinu's life. But is that what identified Nimrod? That's who he was. This was one event in a life full of immense activity. So here we come to another point, which is very important to understand. And here we'll start putting together the interaction, the dynamic between Avraham Avinu and Hashem. It's true, Nimrod was a very powerful king who establish the concept of monarchy, etc., etc. But at the end of the day, if you come to Shemayim and you say, what was Nimrod's significance? What did he accomplish in this world? The answer is the significance of the story of Nimrod and all of his power and all of his accomplishments was because Hashem had him in place to provide a test for Avraham Avinu. Hashem wanted to bring Avraham Avinu to a certain place, and therefore there were different elements, aspects of adversity that he had to go through, and one of them was to face off against a mighty monarch. And therefore, a mighty monarch had to be invented. Monarchy had to be invented in order for Avraham Avinu to be invented. And here, we're really getting into the fundamental perspective of the story of Avraham Avinu's life as it blends with the story of the world. And we mentioned this last week. When Avraham Avinu appeared on the scene, he now became the story of the world. And now, this is the way Hashem operates with his people. And in those days, we're talking about those specific individuals that Hashem zeroed in on. Now, world history started revolving around Avraham Avinu. And Hashem is busy manipulating the world affairs. Did we cite last week the Pasuk Atah Hasisa Shamayim, Shamayim, Shamayim? I'm not sure. I don't remember. But we say every day, if you say the full Pasuk of the Zirma, we say every day a Pasuk that says like this: Atah Hashem Elokim, Atah Hasisa Shamayim, 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 V'chol Tzvaam. I'll translate in a moment. We know them. Ha'aretz v'chol asher aleha, ha'yamim v'chol asher bayim, v'atom v'chayes kulom, v'tzvah ha'shamayim alcho mishtachavim, ato ha'shem alikim asher bachato ba'avram, v'yitzisim v'kahatzim, v'samtish ma'avram, v'tzosos v'vov v'inam v'lefon echa v'chor, yisim v'abriyis, etc. Let's translate that but with a little bit more punctuation. You are Hashem alikim, right? You created the heavens with everything in them. We're talking about the immensity of the galaxies. Earth with everything on it. We're talking about the millions of mankind and the infinite millions of other forms of life and of plant life and all the intricacies, right? The seas. We're pretty egocentric. We think that on Earth, that's where it's happening. Earth is one third of the world, and the seas is where it's really happening. There's so much more life there, so much more going on there, right? So we say the seas and everything in them. And you're busy sustaining all of them. And the immense hosts of the Malachim and Shamayim are bowing to you. And what are you interested in? You are the one who chose Avram, took him out of Ur Kasdim, made a point of changing his name to Avram, meaning the one who's creating all the universe is busy with the ins and outs of what is precisely the appropriate name for Avram Avinu. And not only that, but very specifically and in a customized kind of way, guiding the events of Avraham Avinu's life. Why? Because, say, oh, man, really? The sun, the moon, the galaxies, all that was there for the purpose of the person who was really going to connect with Hashem. And now that that happened, everything else is just revolving around him. And Avraham Avinu is Hashem's personal project, so to speak. And now world events are being planned in terms of what does Avraham Avinu need next for his next stage of growth, for his next stage of development? How Hashem is leading Avraham Avinu on a customized program. How can I bring him? He gave it his all to grow close to me. How can I bring him even higher? How can I make him even greater? This is now going to be the story of the world. And therefore, yeah, what was the significance of Nimrod with all of his power and the whole kingdom he built and all that? It was because he was the man. His claim to fame is, and that was his great contribution to the world, is that he was the one who put Avraham Avinu to that test and enabled him to reach the height he did. Nimrod thought that he was coming up against Avraham Avinu. He was actually a very important cog, a very important piece in the story of Avraham Avinu's life. That was his significance in history, and that's why he was given all the power he was given. But it goes on and on. It goes on and on. A very, very significant point in world history. If we'll talk about what are the turning points in world history after the Mabul, what would you say was the next real turning point in world history after the Mabul? Was the Migdal Bavel. Right? That was up until that point, all of mankind was concentrated in one place, pretty much under one king. And it was in Migdal Bavel that mankind scattered all around, and now you had a world with all kinds of different cultures and all kinds of different nationalities, and that really changed the whole tone, the whole pace of world history. Why did Migdal Bavel happen when it happened? So here too, Rav Avigdor Miller says an amazing point, all along the same lines. You know why? Because Avram, he comes back to this point. Avram Avinu begins his life under the rule of Nimrod. And that adversity is going to be what's going to make him great. And therefore, he has to be there. But once he passes that test, once he does that successfully, once he does all that successfully, Hashem says, okay, now he exhausted the benefits of being under Nimrod. Now we need him to move on to the next stage of his growth. Now he has to move into a place that's not under Nimrod's influence anymore and be able to really spread his teachings. That was when Hashem told him, Lech Lecha. You've maximized what you have to gain spiritually by fighting the adversity of being under Nimrod. Now go to a place, we're up to the next stage of your growth. Go to a place where you'll be recognized for who you are and where you'll really be able to spread your teachings, et cetera, with all the benefits of Eretz Yisrael. But therefore, Hashem said, oh, okay, it's time to make a shift in human history. Up until now, all of mankind. Up until now, all of mankind is under the rule of Nimrod. But soon, Avraham Avinu is going to be able to move on to places that are not under him. And therefore, we have to change world reality now. We have to break mankind into a bunch of different cultures so as to set the stage for Avraham Avinu's growth, which is only going to come in a few more decades. This is the hashkafa surrounding the process of Avraham Avinu's life. And therefore, let's understand. Let's come back to the questions we started with. Avraham Avinu is languishing in jail, in prison, and he's davening, and he's davening. Why isn't there an answer? It's not because Hashem was too busy with other things. If we understand that the massive world events are being planned for his growth, and the fact that Hashem said, no, another year in prison, and then another year in prison, and then another year in prison, these were all also part of Hashem's spoon-feeding Avraham Avinu his path of greatness. What greatness is there in that? The greatness that's there in that is basically Hashem saying, and this is something that could be relevant to all of us. And Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, you've been in jail now for a year and you've been davening for me, to me. When a person is first facing a situation and starts davening, we do it with a lot of vigor. With faith, with conviction, we are going to put in very powerful tefillos now that are going to, as the expression goes, tear open the heavens and turn things upside down. And sometimes Hashem says, great, now I want to take all your tefillah up to the next notch. I want to drain your tefillah now of that sense of, we're davening so hard, it's going to happen. Let's say a year went by and it didn't happen. Now can you regroup and come again with a whole new burst of tefillah that isn't being supported by that sense of, hey, if we're going to daven, it's all going to change. Can you hold on to that conviction? Can you hold on to that faith? And now he goes through another year of davening. But now he's been davening for 2 years and no response. Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, I can get a third year out of you. It could be that a person of lesser faith, Hashem feels at the end of 2 years, he's going to start losing any conviction. He's going to start losing any faith in his fields. Okay, we have to give his request. But Hashem says that of Avraham Avinu, we can get even more faith. We can press even more faith. He's going to be deepening his faith through this process. As the way Avigdor Miller said it was, Hashem pressed good grapes. It's the more quality grapes, you press them harder. Or flax. A lower quality flax, you beat a little bit. You don't want to beat it too hard because it'll all disintegrate. You beat it a little bit and then you take it. It's not totally refined, but say you work with what is. But if you have very high quality flax, you continue beating it and beating it and beating it, and you're refining it even more and more and more and more until the product that emerges is top, top quality, completely incomparable to the other flax that just got a couple of bangs and that was it. So Hashem is saying, stretching Avraham Avinu to his limits, but squeezing out deeper emunah and deeper emunah and deeper emunah. And this is what Hashem was doing also when it came to the child. And you see that Avraham Avinu kept on davening, kept on davening, kept on davening. But let's appreciate. And again, we can connect to this on our own level through our own experience, how each, let's call it year, half a year, of added davening demands that much more of pulling it out of your kishkes. And that was the greatness that Hashem was wrenching out of Avraham Avinu. This is all part of Hashem completely zoomed in on Avraham Avinu now with a godly customized path program of growth that Hashem was leading Avraham Avinu down. And this was what was relevant to every stage, every turn in Avraham Avinu's life was Hashem laying it down beforehand, sometimes cluing him in, sometimes not cluing him in. So this is where Avraham Avinu had pushed himself, squeezing whatever growth he could get out of himself until the level where Hashem said, "Ooh, this is what I've been waiting for since the creation. And now I'm going to take it from there and I'm going to turn you into my personal project and I'm going to be facilitating your growth now." And this really, as we said before, this is the culmination of the story of the Bria. The purpose of the Bria breeding up till now, leading up till now, was this. It was for this person to emerge, and then for Hashem then to say, "Okay, now I'm going to continue leading him up to the heights. And look what a Bria I made. Look what a Bria I made, because look what it's culminating in Avraham Avinu." When you look at all the phenomena of nature, you look at the sun, the stars, all the amazing phenomena of nature, and Hashem says, "What's that all for? Look, I produced an Avraham Avinu through those 1,948 years leading up to it." Okay. And we take it further and we understand that just as we're talking about the ongoing, so we did touch on this last week, that when Avraham Avinu was actually faced with the fiery furnace, with the Kivshan HaEsh, and there was no halacha in place at that point that you had to give up your life. But this was, again, we're seeing the steel nature of Avraham Avinu, that as he learned and thought and reached conclusions, they became implanted in who he was, and he was now going to live by them in an absolute concrete way. And therefore, when it reached the point of, "Are you going to go on living?" So no, the whole purpose of my life was to reach this understanding. I have no need for a life that denies this. And if my understanding brought me to the point of giving up my life in the fiery furnace with this truth, that truth is going to hold through even there. And as we discussed, it was after 75 years of this Avodah that Hashem said, "Okay, now you've reached a peak, and I'm going to reward you by actually appearing to you. I am the Hashem that you've been serving your whole life. I have the Hashem that you sought out. I'm the Hashem that you connected with, that you've been feeling in your life the whole time. You turned into reality, and now I'm actually going to appear to you." Let's appreciate this point. This was a reward. This was the cherry on the top, the culmination of all of the efforts. It's like the Ramban says in this week's parasha, right? It says that after the bris, Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu, and then the three Arabs came, Malachim, Sarah, this, that. The Ramban points out. So we see that Hashem appeared to Avram, and then Avram got busy with the guests. And we know that, right? Rashi says that he kind of, so to speak, asked Hashem to wait, got busy with the guests, and he gets back to Hashem. But what did Hashem actually tell him? If you look at the Psukim, he gets busy with the Malachim, but there's no message. What was the Nevuah? The Ramban says, no, the Nevuah was simply Hashem was rewarding him with the Nevuah. In appearance, Hashem appeared to him. It was Sechah. It was Hashem recognizing all of his efforts through his different nisyonos by appearing to him. And this happened earlier on with that first nevuah of Lech Lecha. Question?
Hashem didn't appear to him, he only spoke, right?
That's called appearing, meaning a nevuah. We don't necessarily, meaning when in cases where the main feature of the nevuah was the vision, so we'll talk about Vayera. But Vayomer will generally include a vision also. By Moshe Rabbeinu, right? It's almost always talks about Vayedaber, 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 and yet the way Hashem expresses that is Panim Pel Pe Adaber Boy, right? Asher Yedoy Hashem Panim El Panim, face-to-face encounters, right? Kiviyochel.
I just learned that Hashem appeared to the Avos in Eretz Yisrael, so which would align with the fact that in Chutz La'aretz, in Haran, the first one that Hashem just spoke and not appeared. And so it's
It wouldn't be a
appearance
conflict because the way the Kuzari says, we have to appreciate Hashem speaking to someone in the context of Nevuah, that's the peak. As for the point of Nevuah only taking place in Eretz Yisrael, I think the Kuzari says it could take place in Eretz Yisrael or with regard to Eretz Yisrael, meaning a Nevuah that comes instructing a person to go to Eretz Yisrael is called an Eretz Yisrael Nevuah. So then Hashem brings him to the next stage where Hashem says, okay, the next stage of your career, and this Avraham Avinu actually figured out himself, you know, once he was brought to Eretz Canaan, where it was a different crowd there. This was already a crowd that was more that was would actually be receptive to his messages. And then he embarked on that whole next career of, we touched on this last week also. Let's bring it out a little bit more. Hashem is keeping behind the scenes, but yet giving those flashes of indication that he's there. And I'm the one person in history that actually tuned into it and brought it out. So then part of that job is to convey it further. To convey it further.
Is that after he hears from Hashem left
Baha? What's that?
That's after Hashem spoke to him left.
I'm not sure. Was he already doing No, it seems it was already before that. Exactly. You see, he already had a following in Haran. So apparently he had already deduced this and embarked on that path yet in Haran. But it was in Canaan where he really picked it up and he really became a leader to masses. We have to appreciate that. We don't appreciate the Kibbutz of Avraham Avinu. But every time it says that he built a Mizbeach, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, what does that mean? He built a Mizbeach and called down in the name of Hashem. What does that mean exactly, called down in the name of Hashem? What it means is that he made a public calling out. He gathered masses and he influenced people. And that's why, realize, next week in Parshas Chayesara, right, what did the B'nai Ches tell him? He was a revered figure around there at Canaan. This was a man who was making treaties with kings. This was because of the fact that he became a leader to masses through his teachings. Through his teachings, he really inspired and influenced. I don't know what numbers there were in Eretz Canaan there, but all around Eretz Canaan. And he was moving around on that mission.
So is it fair to say the Torah puts a great emphasis on doing kiruv?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. To spreading the awareness, yes. And this is what Avraham Avinu was busy with. Okay. Sorry, where were we going to go from here? Now, we might just ask the question. So we're actually saying that Avraham Avinu, he had actually had mass influence. Thousands of people were influenced by him, changed their lives because of him. Where are all those people today?
Well, they converted, aren't they part of the Jewish people?
What's that?
If they converted, are they part of
what you know? Well, right. Somehow, right. Somehow, by the time they went down to Egypt, it was just Yaakov and his family. Where are they all? Well, they all disappeared. And this was really, how did they disappear? How did they disappear? Well, people heard and they were inspired. Some people more, some people less, as these things work. It didn't hold. Many of these people were very inspired. Maybe there were many people, I'm sure, became great people as a result of Avraham Avinu's teachings. But next generation, yes, no, maybe so. A generation further, okay.
Maybe it's how different it is when you have mitzvahs to do. You know, I guess get the feeling that they're, you know, they have this vision in their mind.
That's a very good point. That's a very chashuv point. You're making a point that really has a lot of depth and really, really deserves elaboration of its own. That spirituality that's not grounded in action and that doesn't really commit your lifestyle floats away very easily. That's a big point. Rav Hirsch comes from another angle and says, on the contrary, where do we see the epitome of this phenomena of the followers not really getting it out of self? Where do we see that most? Who was Avraham Avinu's, just looking at the Pesukim, who was his main follower? What? Light, right? So what happens with Light? Light is the follower of Avraham Avinu. And then the family, right? And then What happens? The way I heard it put was, you know, he withstood the test of poverty. He suffered with Avraham Avinu through all of his ordeals. But then they were hit with another test, right? Like Mishael Yesharim says, that everything is a test from a different angle. The poverty, suffering, he excelled. He came out with flying colors, but then they were hit with the test of wealth. And all of a sudden, this is where light fell, right? Let's not undermine light entirely. Very, very great person. But he already felt at that point, the wealth was already enough of a factor for him to say, you know what? If I've learned enough from Avraham Avinu, I'll go my own way at this point. I have the training. And he was able, he sacrificed the instruction under Avraham Avinu for really investing himself in his newfound wealth. It was apparently very exciting. I understand him. It's very exciting to suddenly go from poverty to being a very wealthy man, which happened as a result of him being on Avraham Avinu's path. So it was there that Avraham Avinu, it hit him, the way Rav Hirsch sets it up, is that it hit him that with all of my influence, as long as it's not going to be my own seed, I can't rest assured.